Is it going now?
Did you press it once or twice?
I think I pressed it twice. Should be going, right? The line. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to clarify matters a teeny bit. The independent learning for this semester is Yerideyasim and Kufyud Beis and Kufyud Gimel, which are the halachos of Pasakum and Bishul Akum, Mechaber Ramah. The Shach and Taz and Pischei Tshuva is something that's important to know, but I don't think I'll test you on it. You should look in the Shach just to understand Mechaber Ramah, basically. But Lamaisa, it's Mechaber Ramah, Kufyud Beis, Kufyud Gimel. The Bechina is scheduled for a week from this Wednesday, the 24th. I will not be here, but there will be a Bechina that day. Rabbi Bronstein will have somebody come and proctor it. It's going to be in room 313 at 1 o'clock. Anyone who needs to take the Bechina at a different time should just send me an email, and we'll email and correspond about when's a good time that you could take it. Fine. We have gone through, so far this semester, we've chazered the first segment of Shiurim. All the Shiurim are online. It's yutorah.org. You hit on YU courses, Contemporary Halacha, and they're all there. The regular Shiurim are there, and the Chazar Shiurim are there as well. Just to clarify one matter, I mentioned in the first Chazara Shiur that Rav Shechter's opinion, unlike Rav Ben Chaim, when he spoke about the Isser Verka'os, so you mentioned that he felt there's an Isser to be a lawyer in general, because what you're being is you're a Messiah, you say Ovei Avera, by getting involved in the American legal system. And I mentioned in the Chazara Shiur that Rav Shechter disagreed with Rav Ben Chaim. I was partially incorrect. Rav Shechter holds that it's mutter to take part in the criminal legal system, but in terms of monetary matters, so the Isser Verkos will be intact. That's what Rav Shechter clarified to me when we spoke. Okay, Beseder. We have so far chazered the first segment of Chosh HaMishpah, we chazered the entire Evan HaEzer segment, we chazered Bishul Akum last time, and now we are basically up to the last segment, which turns out to be pretty much the segment called Rabbi Baruch Simon. Now, Rav Simon gave three shiurim at the end. First he spoke about Chol HaShomoed, then he spoke about mezuzah, he gave two shiurim on mezuzah. There's also a shiur from Rabbi Brander about preparing for Pesach in this segment, and there's also a shiur from Rabbi Hirsch about gambling. But we'll start going through Rabbi Simon, and then we'll move on, even though it's a teeny bit out of order, but it's just the way my mind works, it's easier to go straight Rabbi Simon. Okay, so Melachon Chol HaShomoed. The shaila is Melachon and Chol HaShomoed an Issa D'Oraisa or is it an Issa D'Rabbanan? The Gemara in Maseches Chagiga on Daf Yud Ches, interestingly, this is a Gemara that doesn't really come up in Moed Katan, where you'd expect all the halachas of Chol HaMoed to be. But in Chagiga on Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara talks about Melachon and Chol HaMoed, and the Gemara has all of these different psukim. Eschag HaMatzos Tishmar, the Gemara says, and the Gemara has it from a Kal V'Chomer, Kol Melachos Avodah Lo Sa'asu. The Gemara keeps on having different psukim. You get an impression that Melachon Chol HaMoed is a din d'oraisa. However, Tosfos over there quotes a Yerushalmi that sounds like Melachon Chol HaMoed is d'rabbanan. Right? The Gemara in the Yerushalmi writes, Klum Asru Melacha Ela Kadesh Yehu Ochlem B'Shosim B'Yiyu Yigeyim B'Torah. That the reason why Asru Melacha, the reason why they asked Melacha, it sounds like Malacha is a din d'rabbanan, right? You don't say they asr if it refers to din d'oraisa. And the Yerushalmi says the reason they asr Malacha is that we want Klal Yisrael to eat and drink, be merry, obviously, and they should be yigeim b'Torah. They should learn Torah. So the reason for Malacha and Chol HaMoed is in order to give us an opportunity to learn Torah, an opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah Simchas Yontav b'Shleimuso. This point, even though Tosfos quotes it only on the level of Derabbanan, and Tosfos himself, Lamaisa, assumes that Melachon Chol HaMoed is Derabbanan, he disagrees with the Rashbam, but that's the big machlokas that we've shown him here in Tosfos. Tosfos, when he quotes this idea from the Yerushalmi, that the reason for the Isra Malacha is in order to have Simchas Yantiv B'Shleimuso, in order to be able to learn Torah and to eat and drink, so Tosfos is quoting it on the level of Drabbanon. However, others say the same idea on the level of the Oraisa. If you look in the Keren Ora at the beginning of Meseches Moed Katan, and it's in Rabbi Simon's packet, page 6 in the packet, page 11, excuse me, in the packet is a Keren Ora. So the Keren Ora says that the reason for the Isra Malacha Min HaTorah is so that Klai Yisrael should be able to enjoy Simchas Yontev. And it's not only a Keren Ora. There are certain Rishonim who stress this idea. The Yireyim and the Rav Yah both come up with a category of Malacha that's also in Chol Osho Moed called the Malacha of Tircha. Anything that involves physical exertion is also in Chol Osho Moed. And the lashon of the Rav Yah is very striking. Hakol toloi kedei sheyismach b'moed. This is page 12 in the Rabbi Simon packet number 4. The idea is in order to have simchas yontiv, and he quotes the Yerushalmi, and in order to have simchas yontiv, anything which involves tircha yisera is aser. Shalibo atzuv mipnei hatorach. You're sad because of tircha. Tircha is going to detract from your simchas yontiv. So the basic idea that Rabbi Simon began with is in terms of the categories of what malacha is usr on Chol Osho Moed, the Rishonim suggest a new category that you don't see elsewhere. And that new category is called Tircha. Tircha is going to be usr. But there are many other categories of malacha on Chol Osho Moed. Rabbi Sami went through them pretty quickly. The Mishnah Moed Katan has a case of osim ma'akel agag, right? A ma'akel on top of a roof. You're allowed to make one of those on Chol Osho Moed. And the Mishnah says that you could do that only if it's ma'aseh hedyot, not ma'aseh uman. Only if it's done, we'll have to define the terms a little more precisely, only if it's done in an unprofessional way, not if it's done professionally. Now, what that basically means is that something which is tzorech hamoed, something that is necessary for a yontiv, is permitted, providing it is ma'aseh hedyot. If it's Maisa Umin, it's Aser, even if you need it for Yontif for Chol HaMoed, Maisa Umin is going to be Aser. So Tzorech HaMoed, there's no heter of Maisa Umin. Rabbi Simon, to drive this point home, showed that in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, they have a psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, that if your car breaks on Chol Osho Moed, so you can't go to a mechanic to have it fixed. Even though, right, the car can be Tzorech HaMoed. You need your car in order to get around on Chol HaMoed, to travel from here to there in order to do whatever you do. But a mechanic who fixes a car is an Umin, right? If your mechanic is a Hedyot, you should probably find a different mechanic. So your mechanic is an Umin, and Maisa Umin is Aser even though it's Tzorech HaMoed. First klal. But this klal itself is modified. Because even though we do not permit Maisa Umin, if it's with Tzorech HaMoed, but if it's Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, right, then we do permit Maisa Umin. What that means is, if your oven breaks on Chol Osho Moed, or even if your oven breaks before Yontiv, and you just can't fix it before Yontiv, it's not a case of Masha Malachto, it's not a case that you dafka intended to fix it on Chol Osho Moed, your oven broke and there was no chance to fix it before Yontiv. You can have an oven repairman, who's also an Umin. He could come in and fix your oven for you on Chol HaMoed. Aye, Tzorech HaMoed, we don't permit Maisa Umin. Teretz is that if it's Tzorech HaMoed and Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, then it is permitted. Okay? Now, by the way, all of these cases, you'll notice, we're talking about repairmen. I don't know any Jewish mechanics. I think Rabbi Avi Safrati at one point studied to become a mechanic. He felt it was a good umnis. But I don't know any Erlich Yidden who really function as mechanics. I don't know any Erlich Yidden who function as oven repairmen. Right? L'maisa Amir La'akum is also Asr on Chol HaMoed. That's very important. That's a good enough old design, that Chof Beis. The Amir La'akum is Asr on Meleches Chol Osho Moed. Okay, so far we have Tzorech HaMoed is permitted if it's Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Umin, but if it is Ochel Nefesh, we permit even Maisa Umin, right? And the Rishonim, the Ritva in Meseches Moed Katan, gives us a much broader definition of Ochel Nefesh than you would have thought initially. Zok the Ritva that Tzarchei Haguf is considered Ochel Nefesh. Osa Isha Tachshiteho, the Mishnah says, right? To some of the makeup stuff that's involved, Sorech HaGuf is considered Ochel Nefesh as well. So based on this, there's a large discussion in the Tshuva Svarim. Are you allowed to go to the dentist on Chol HaMoed? Right? Yeshiva guys always ask this question because if you're in yeshiva, so you don't usually have your dentist around unless you live pretty close by. So Chol HaMoed is when you want to go to the dentist. Is it permitted to go to the dentist now on Chol HaMoed? Now, going to the dentist can involve real malacha, right? The drilling of the holes in the teeth. There's potential real malacha involved in going to a dentist. Rav Moshe Feinstein, even though you would have thought that it should be mutter, because it's Sarach HaGuf, and Sarach HaGuf is like Ochel Nefesh, and even though it's Maisa Umen, it should be okay. But Zakir Maisha, he thinks that it's mutter to go to the dentist if you have a toothache. That's considered Sarach HaMoed. But if you don't have a toothache at all, it's just a routine visit to have him look at your teeth and tell you that you should be brushing more often, right? So B'Kahai Gavna, it's also to go to the dentist on Chol HaMoed. That's the Psak in Igris Moshe. It's here in the Rabbi Simon packet. Fine. Now, we've used the term so far, Maisa Hedyot, Maisa Umen. What are these things? So, we defined Maisa Umen as something that's done by a professional. The mechanic is an Umen. The dentist is an Umen. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had a little wrinkle on this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky felt that not only is something that's done by a professional considered Maisa Umen, but something that's done in a way that it looks professional when it's done, the final product looks really good, that's also considered Maisa Umen. This is the discussion in the English Chol HaMoed book, which we have like 5 copies of here in the Beis Medrash. And there's like one shelf of Rabbi Eider Svarim and the Chol HaMoed Sefer. So on that shelf, what you see is that in the Chol HaMoed book, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asked being photographed on Chol HaMoed. You can't take pictures. Why not? Because the final product looks very nice. Now, whether, is he talking about using a Polaroid camera? Is he talking about using other cameras? There's just some discussion. According to most poskim, and the minhag ha'olam is l'hakel, you're allowed to take pictures of Chol HaMoed. Because we're defining that Maisa Umen is not something that looks professional. Maisa Umen is something that is done by a professional, right? This is a shayla about using a computer on Chol HaMoed, typing on Chol HaMoed, right? You have your papers due, stuff like that. Again, if something looks professional, right? According to Yaakov Kamenetsky, it might be a problem. We'll talk about the ksiva issue later on. That's a slightly different wrinkle. But if something is done by a professional, then most posts can assume that's the isser of Maisa Umen. Fine. There's another category of malacha that we permit on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so far so good? Right. There's another category of malacha that we permit on Chol HaMoed, which is that the Mishnah on Daf Beis in Moed Katan. The first Mishnah says that Mashkin Beis Hashlochin B'Moed. What that means is that if you have a field that needs constant irrigation, or else the field will get ruined, so then you're allowed to water such a field on Chol HaMoed. This is considered Davar HaAved. That's the heter of something that you'll lose. Now, what is Davar HaAved, though? So, it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut what Davar HaAved is. The Ramban has a suffix. Does Davar HaAved mean that you're going to lose the keren? Or does it mean you just won't earn profit? Think about the field case, right? If I don't water my field for a few days, what's going to happen? It could be that my plants will mamish get ruined. And that's the case in the Mishnah. It's a davar aved in the sense that the keren, whatever I have already invested, is going to be destroyed. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that no, davar aved means, right, even if the keren will remain intact, but it won't produce fruits for these days. I won't have revach. That's a davar ha'aved. The Ramban's conclusion after his suffix is that you should be machmir on this. So davar ha'aved is only going to be permitted if you're going to end up losing the keren, losing something that you already had. Now for us, this comes up most often, not in terms of regular Yisurei Malacha, not in terms of regular Yisurei Malacha, but in terms of the case of Prakmatia, doing business on Chol HaMoed. Right, so what's the Isser of doing business? Having your stores open, L'chol HaMoed. The Mishnah has a strong lashon. Mishnah says, Prakmatia kol shehu asura. Any amount of prakmatia, even a teeny bit, is asur. Why? Why is this Isser of prakmatia L'chol HaMoed? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the reason, even though ordinarily Rabbi Shechter has in his sefer that L'chol HaMoed, we don't asur, all the gezeiros don't apply, right? Melachos are asr on Chol HaMoed, but gezeiros derabanan aren't asr. Usually mekach u'memker doing business is a gezeira shem yichdol. You would think it shouldn't be asr on Chol HaMoed. Zok l'aruch ha'shulchan, even so Chazal instituted a special iser of prakmatia, because if you'll get involved in business, you know what happens. You can't stop. You're going to go into the office in the morning and you'll be there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and you'll keep on going. So you'll end up destroying your whole yontif. You'll end up not having any simplest yontif. So in order to avoid that, Chazal said that prakmatia koshehu is asur. Okay. But there are kulas, right? One kula is found in the Gemara. It's a case of a shayara, a case of a caravan comes by. Now, a caravan that comes by, it's a one-time occurrence. It sounds almost like it's a davar ha'aved, a shtickle, right? Sounds like the same type of idea. You have this one-time giant sale, shayara. So in that case, the Gemara says prakmatia is going to be mutter. There is, however, machlokas, Rambam, Ramban, how do you understand that one case of prakmatia? The Rambam tells us that the case of prakmatia is prakmatia with a shayara. The case of the caravan is that the caravan comes and he sells stuff, and you're going to take that stuff and resell it. The Ramban, however, says that the case of the caravan is a caravan comes by and he sells undershirts, and you'll buy yourself an undershirt to wear. Right? You're not buying stuff to sell. According to the Rambam, the case of shayara is that you buy stuff to sell. According to the Ramban, the case of shayara is that you're buying stuff to use. What would emerge is a tremendous chumrah that, according to the Ramban, you shouldn't go shopping on Chol HaMoed. Right? The only hatat to go shopping is if it's a shayar, it's this one-time occurrence. So, right, a one-time occurrence, you're allowed to go shopping, but b'lav hachi, it's going to be asur. Say there, machlokas Rambam and Ramban, Rabbi Simon in Shir said that he felt you should be machmir on this shayla. Now, basically, business, according to, you open up the books, it's usher to have your business open L'chol HaMoed. The minig of people, I think, is that they go to work L'chol HaMoed. Where does this come from? What's the heter for going to work L'chol HaMoed? Some of the English sfarim say that you could open your store L'chol HaMoed if you keep the gate down. Where does that come from? Teretz is, it comes from the fact that the Rush writes in Moed Katan that you're allowed to be ma'over l'ribis b'goyim Chol HaMoed. Why? Zok the Rush, if you're worried that, if, remember, Jews used to earn money by lending ribis to goyim, right? Ribis to Jews is aser, ribis to goyim, right? L'nachri sashach. So now, Zok the Rush, if you're worried that if you don't lend money to the goyim Chol HaMoed, the goy is going to not use you as his money lender anymore. So then, b'kahaygafna, we permit you to lend money to the guy. Because it's a davar ha'aved. But what's a davar ha'aved? You're going to lose your regular customer. Al pizeh, you have the heter to have your store open L'chol HaMoed if you have a legitimate concern that your regular customers are going to leave. But Rav Moshe Sternbach has a problem. He says, one second, if you want to have your business open L'chol HaMoed, that means you have to be the type of salesman who doesn't really take vacations during the year. Because if you're the type of salesman who takes a vacation and you're not worried that you're going to permanently lose your customers, so l'chora, right, you have to assume that Chol HaMoed also you won't permanently lose your customers. It's only a davar ha'aved. Again, according to the maskana of the Ramban, has to be that, not that you're losing profit, the maskana of the Ramban is that davar ha'aved is that you lose what you have already. You lose some of the keren. Right, so the customers who I already have, based on this Tshuva Sarash, we extend it, and that's like Karen. But it's got to be, there's a real legitimate concern that you'll lose those customers. Okay, that's what Rabbi Simon mentioned, Seder. The last issues that come up, Chol HaMoed. Yeah.
So how does it help to have your thing down?
How does it help to have the thing down? Right, so to have a thing down is solving an issue of Maris Ayin, but it doesn't really solve the fundamental Isser Pragmatia. The fundamental Isser, the only heter for that is if it's a Dover Ha'aved, based on the Gemara of Shayara, and it has to be that you're losing the Keren somehow. Achora. Raiding a Chol HaMoed, right? What's the story over here? This is the famous Shaila. So obviously, writing Chedushei Torah, all the poskim say is Motor, that's a Dover Ha'aved. Right? If you're not going to write that, there are two ways of saying it. The Taz has a razzle dazzle. Right? Taz says, if you're not going to write a Chol HaMoed, comes Motzei Yontif, you're going to sit down to write over, or your Shtiklach Torah, so you'll write it down Motzei Yontif. But during that time that you're writing your Shtiklach Torah Motzei Yontif, you should be learning other stuff. You should be going weiter. You shouldn't be spending time catching up on what you're writing. So therefore, it's a Dover Aved on after Yontif. Others say Dover Aved in a much more practical sense. If you're not going to write when you learn, you'll forget. Okay, so writing Chedushei Torah, even if you don't have such big Chedushim, right, you underline. Rabbi Simon's article, by the way, in the Beis Yitzchak, which is here, is very helpful. He goes through all this stuff. Just underlining in your Sfarim, writing stuff to help you remember is Avada Mutter. The Bach writes that writing in general is Mutter on Chol HaMoed, because it's Zorach HaMoed and it's Maisa Hedyot. The only type of writing that's going to be also Zach the Bach is if it's Maisa Om and if it's Ksav Ashuris. Right, you know how to write Sifrei Torah and Aleph and like 3 points with the Kutzor Shel Yud and say you really know what you're doing, then there's an Isser. But Lav Hachi, if it's not Maisa Omen, so it's going to be Mutter to write on Chol HaMoed. There's a Chumrah that we have, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to write a little bit on the slant. That's just the Chumrah Ba'alma. Me'ikar Hadin, writing a Chol HaMoed is Heter Gomor. If it's Maisa Hedyot L'Tzorach HaMoed. Fine. There's a few issues that come up on Chol HaMoed which are not usher based on Malacha, they're just usher based on Gezeros, shaving, right, on Chol HaMoed, or taking a haircut. We should say it's a Gezera, Shalo Yikanes L'Rego Shumanuval. We want you to look kempt proper before Yontiv begins, so therefore you should shave before Yontiv. The other thing that comes up here is laundry, right? Laundry is usher on Chol HaMoed, not because of the malacha involved in laundry, but because that you should enter Yontiv with your laundry already done. Then there's a Shaila Nachronim, and Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg and others are matir in situations that's mutter to do laundry. Let's say Big Day Katanim, right? Since they always get dirty, so they were never included in this gezera of Kibbutz B'Moed. So can you be Marbe B'Shirim? Do we say that Marbe B'Shirim is mutter, that once I have my kids' laundry, I can put my own stuff in it also, it's the same washing machine. Do we say that's okay? Rabbi Pinchas Scheinberg was Mekel on this Shaila in the Chol HaMoed book. They quote a back and forth between the Deborah Tziner and Rav Moshe to be Machmer, and this maybe Rebu Bashirim only helps on Malachos, it doesn't help on stuff which is an independent Gezerah. Fine. There is another Heter that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, which could open the box for a very big Kula, which is a Big Day Pishdan, when Mekel on laundering on Chol HaMoed cotton type of clothing. Why is that? Different reasons. One reason is that cotton clothing always gets dirty. Right? Your underwear always gets dirty. So, Me'ikar Adin is permitted to wash it on Chol HaMoed. We happen to be Machmir that we don't. We assume today this man is that most people have enough underwear to get through a full Chol HaMoed. But if you don't, so it could be that's going to be okay. Why Big Day Pishdan is mutter? However, other Rishonim understand that the heter Big Day Pishdan is not because they always get dirty. Other Rishonim understand that Big Day Pishdan is mutter because there's no tircha involved. Right? Back to our Keren Ora and our Yireim and the Rav Yah. There's no tircha involved in washing Big Day Pishdan. Oh, okay. So if the heter is because there's no tircha involved, so Rabbi Simon mentioned he was Mavliya. This is not Lahalacha L'maisa. He was Mavliya that maybe Bizman has that. There's no tircha at all involved in doing laundry. Because how do you do laundry? Take the stuff, put it in the machine, like chick-chack. It could be that the whole Isser of Kibbutz doesn't apply anymore. Remember, at the time that they used to have a washing board and they would mamish, blood, sweat, and tears went into washing a shirt. So you could hear that there's tircha involved. That's what Chazal answered it. But Bizman is that you put it in the machine works for you. Zocha malachta nasa saide achirim. So then one could propose that should be mutter. Yeah.
If
you have a Amir al-Akum, it's still Usher. What?
She cuts the grass.
But that still is Amir al-Hakam, no? We assume that the Isra of Amir al-Hakam is when a guy does stuff for you, right? Because the guy assumes that you would tell them. An implicit directive is also Asr in Amir al-Hakam.
So you have to tell them that's
going
to stop?
Could be.
She shouldn't come at all during Kalabai.
She shouldn't come at all. No, well, she can come, and there's a lot of mutter stuff that she could do around the house. Tidying up the house is mutter, washing dishes if you allow your housekeeper to wash dishes, which might not be such a good idea anyway. It's a good idea to have your housekeeper not wash dishes for you. You could end up with possible color issues and stuff. It's an ace I got a while ago. It's a good idea to wash your own dishes.
Dishwasher.
If you have a dishwasher. If you live in Washington Heights and your building doesn't let you have a dishwasher. Right, so then these issues
you
come up.
Have you one sink or two?
What?
If
you have two separate, if you live in Washington Heights, you don't have two separate.
No, I'm saying you're the eitzah of not having someone washing dishes.
I don't know. I mean, the eitzah I got was for here in the Heights. Lamaisa stuff in these small kitchens in the apartments, stuff can go wrong very easily. And I think it's a good idea not to have the guy washing dishes for you. Fine. The other issue that we are making on in Hukos Chol HaMoed that we just didn't go into so much is Tzarchei Rabim. Right, you're allowed to. The Gemara says the Ravid understands that the Gemara is saying that the heter of Tzarchei Rabim on Moed is because this is the time that people are off, and therefore you have a chance of getting stuff done. When people are working, you have no chance of having stuff done, like to be metakein the potholes and stuff. So that we permit a Chol HaMoed at Tzarchei Rabim, even if it's a Maisa Umin, we permit Tzarchei Rabim on Chol HaMoed. The last issue that Rabbi Simon mentioned, and then we'll finish Chol HaMoed, is the issue of wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So tefillin on Chol HaMoed, the pashtus in the Gemara is that you should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Beis Yosef said that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar came and said that if you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it's going to be terrible things. You're chayiv misa. Wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so therefore you shouldn't do it. So this is the two different minhagim. Do you wait for the chama? Don't you wait for the chama? The Avni Nezer has a famous tshuva. Rabbi Shechter always quotes that Avni Nezer wanted to find the makar in Talmud Bavli, the makar in the Gemara, why you should not wait for the chol HaMoed. Okay, the seder. So we have the chol HaMoed issue. It's for the chol HaMoed. Rabbi Simon mentioned that the minigan satmer is interesting, that the people who are not yet married, the bachrim, wait for the chol HaMoed, and those who are married don't wait for the chol HaMoed. The hezber hadavar is that Alpi Kabbalah, Kabbalah and Yanim are only done by those who are married. So therefore, those fellows in the Satmar communities who are married, they don't wait till the Chol HaMoed. Why not? Because you're Machmir for Zohar after you're married. Okay. So any other questions on Chol HaMoed? Good. I think we pretty much covered what Rabbi Simon did. You should go through the article. Rabbi Simon's article is very good to go through. His packet is a little bit harder to follow. You use the article and then you go back to the packet, it's much easier to follow. Yeah.
Could it be that leaving the gate down works because then only people who already know about your store will come, so then it's only keeping the carriage and not using more stuff?
That's an interesting svara. That could be. Maybe. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay. Isn't the Gemara used the gate down for when in Titus, when in Marisayan?
Yeah, the Gemara has it when in Marisayan, but not in terms of Chol HaMoed.
No, I'm saying it's by Titus,
right.
There it's when in Marisayan.
Correct. Okay, mezuzah. The Shir and Hilchos Mezuzah is honestly one of the easier shiurim to summarize because Rabbi Simon did it for you in the back of his mezuzah packet. He has this English language article which pretty much goes through everything he did in Shi'ar, but he added a few wrinkles over the years, things that changed between 1989 and whatever we are in now. So there's a few added things. But Lamaisa, the Shi'ar and Hilchos Mezuzah, is based on understanding a pasuk in Chumash. Uchsavtam a mezuzos beisecha uvishorecha. So there are three words that you have to understand, right? What's beisecha? What's considered a house in halacha? What's bisharecha? What's a sha'ar? And what's considered mezuzos? Okay, not so difficult. So what's considered a house? So the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Gimel says that the definition of a house doesn't have to be a building with a roof. Doesn't have to be like a huge building like we call a house. A house is any room that has dalet amos by dalet amos. Then the Rosh tells you that there's a machlokas between himself and the Rambam. What does it mean, Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos? 4 Amos by 4 Amos, with 7.3 feet by 7.2, 7.3, something like that. Feet by 7.2 feet. What does that mean? Does it have to be Dalet Amos in each direction? Or maybe all we're saying is that you need 16 square Amos. Right? If you have a room that's 8 Amos by 2 Amos, it's Arub the goat, so it's very long and very narrow. So the Rush tells you that according to the Rambam, the issue is square Amos. But the Rush himself disagrees, and the Rush assumes that you need not square Amos, but that you need... The Rush himself says that it's not that you need square Amos, but it has to be 4x4. That's the sheet of the Rush. In Shulchan Aruch, we quote the Rambam straight. And Lachora, we're quoting the Rambam as understood by the Rush, which would mean that a room that is 8 by 2 would be chayiv in mezuzah, according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Shach writes that, you know, you shouldn't make a bracha over here, because maybe you need 4x4, but l'maisa we'd assume that you're chayiv in mezuzah. However, the Taz in Hilchos Sukkah writes that Tmihani al Smius Einayim Shokol Mori Hora, he has like a bam kasha on the blindness, so to speak, of all the poskim, because all the poskim write that just that according to the Rambam 8x2 is good. Zok the Taz, whoa, it should be the same issue in Sukkah, and in Sukkah the Rambam himself says you need mamish 4x4. Then the Taz says, and after a while I read the Rambam again in Hilchos Mezuzah, and the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah isn't saying that 8x2 is good. What the Rambam is saying is that if you have a room that's a circle, you need to be able to inscribe an area of 4x4 in that circle. But he's not saying that all you need is the total area that would be 4x4. So based on that, according to the Taz, if you have a room that is 8x2, there is no chi of mezuzah at all. The Chazon Ish, Paskin like the Taz, all of the that, and I think Rabbi Simon Paskin's that way also. If you have a room that's 8x2, there's no chiyuv mezuzah at all. Now, if you want to put one up, you can. Rishonim, there's no chiyuv. The Svarim on Hilchos Mezuzah, however, Paskin, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right, the Chovas Hadar, Rav Bloy, others, they Paskin that no, if a room is 8x2, you should put a mezuzah up, but what the Shach says, do it without a bracha. Fine. Now, the issue that comes up for us in Washington Heights is you have kitchens. Now, the kitchens in Washington Heights are long rooms, generally pretty narrow, right? So it's not going to be 8, it's not going to be 16 amos, it won't be dollar by dollar, but maybe it is dollar by dollar, because maybe if you get rid of the refrigerator and you get rid of the counters and you look at the room itself, so you would have dollar on dollar. I might not have dollar on dollar floor space where I can walk, but if I get rid of all the furniture in the room, it might be dalet al dalet. So does that count? So the poskim will say, Rabbi Simon quoted, that permanent furniture is mema'it the room, but temporary furniture is not mema'it the room. What that basically means is my refrigerator is considered temporary. It's a movable thing. It's not really attached. My counters aren't. So my refrigerator doesn't subtract from my measurement of dalet al dalet, but my refrigerator doesn't subtract, but my counters will subtract from the measurement of dalet al dalet.
Permanent is
memaet, but temporary is not memaet. Now the later svarim on Hilchos Mezuzah, which is not what we do in yeshiva, but just in case you see other communities, they all assume that the measurement of dalet al dalet goes, if I take a counter and I have usable space on top of the counter, it doesn't have to be where you walk, it has to be usable space. So vada, the counter is not memait. When they talk about something that's memait, it means something that goes all the way up to the ceiling. That's what the later svarim say. Rabbi Schechter has always told people not to do this. Rabbi Schechter assumes that Hilchos Mezuzah and his lashon was written for midgets. Okay. So basically, we're concerned only with the usable space on the floor. We're not concerned with usable space on top. That's something Rabbi Simon didn't mention. It's just good to know anyway. Now, the big issue that comes up when we talk about dalet al dalet which actually relates conceptually to this machlokas Rambam and Rush, if there is such a machlokas, is what happens if you have a closet. Right, so your closet is not dalet al dalet. Do you need a mezuzah on the closet? Now, if it's a closet that's just a closet that you reach into, so avada, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. The Minchas Yitzchak in his tshuvas writes that something that just has hishtamshus derech hoshata, for sure that's not considered hishtamshus, that doesn't count. But walk-in closets, what happens in a walk-in closet? The Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Sefer Chamudei Daniel Ksav Yad, and the Rashash in Sukkah and Daf Gimel Mid Beis has this also, that walk-in closets are considered chayovim b'mezuzah, which means that you put a mezuzah on the walk-in closet going into the closet, because since that is the derech hishtamshus of it. What that means is that the only reason why pachos midalet al dalet is not chayiv in mezuzah is that usually people don't use something that's pachos midalet al dalet. But if the derech hishtamshus is with a closet, that's why everyone uses their closet, so it's going to be okay. So you put your mezuzah according to Chamudei Daniel going into the closet. Rebbe Kiva Eger, right, and Rebbe Kiva Eger in Reish Pei Vav, Sif Yud, writes that no, he thinks a walk-in closet, he has like a very funny lashon. He calls it Hani Kamercherin, right, these, who knows what they are, it's like some Yiddish word, right, these Kamercherin, the Nidon Ka'avir, it's like the outside space, it's like Avir, and therefore, you put a mezuzah going from the walk-in closet coming into your apartment. Right? The mezuzah would be, if you're facing the closet, on the left side, not on the right side. Why is it nidon ka'avir? He says, because, you know, look at it. What you have is one room, which is dalet al dalet. You have your bedroom, and you have a walk-in closet inside the bedroom. Right? Now, when I'm in the closet, and I want to come into the room, so I walk from the closet into the room. So I put the mezuzah on the right side, leaving the closet going into the room. So there's a huge machlokes. According to the Chamudei Daniel, right, a walk-in closet has a mezuzah on the right side going into the closet. But according to Rebbe Kiva Eger, a walk-in closet has a mezuzah on the right side going out of the closet. Right? Is that clear? Rabbi Simon in his article presented this just as a machlokes. Rav Shechter happens to paskin like Rebbe Kiva Eger. But Rabbi Simon in later years became convinced that Rebbe Kiva Eger violates, as he calls it, the fundamental principle of Hilchos Mezuzah, right? He got really excited about this. Because, Lemais, if you have a walk-in closet, what's the... This door, right? How many mezuzahs do they have on this door? I have one mezuzah going in. Why don't they have another mezuzah going out? Because this is a room that's dalet al dalet, and that hallway, as we'll see later, is a base shower. It's going to be chayiv in mezuzah anyway. So why am I not... Why don't they have two mezuzahs on the door? Teretz is that you don't backtrack, like Rabbi Simon. Derech b'yosfa means the way you go in, you chayev a mezuzah. So you have a mezuzah, one mezuzah on the right side when you go into the room. And we don't assume that first you go in and you turn around, then you go out and you put a second mezuzah. Oy vazoy, these walk-in closets also, right? You have to figure out, if the derech b'yosfa, there's no chayev mezuzah because you're walking into an area that's too small. Let's say you disagree with this chiddush of the Rashash. Nechamudei Daniel, that even if it's usable space, but pachos midal adan, no chiyuv mezuzah. So there's no chiyuv mezuzah going in. And what you can tell me, going out there is a chiyuv mezuzah? No, but I never backtrack. The yisod of hilchos mezuzah, like Rabbi Simon, is that there's no such thing as backtracking. That's why Rabbi Simon felt la halacha that a walk-in closet is not like Rabbi Kiva Eger, and it's not like the Chamudei Daniel. It's really me'ikra den potter entirely. If you want, you should put it on like the Chamudei Daniel. You should put a mezuzah on going into the closet, not coming out of the closet. So far, so good?
What Mr. Kivager is that going in and that the walk-in closet is not chayiv?
The Etzel walk-in closet isn't chayiv, but the walk-in closet is like a sha'ar into the room. So memela, that's his lashon. It's nidon ka'avir. Now, it happens that Rabbi Simon mentioned this in passing, There's a large school of Acharonim who say that Rabbi Akiva Iger never said it. Now, the case of these Kamerchen, we don't know what these rooms are, but it might be a room that's an extension on, like if I have some wood built outside. So it's not the same walls of the house, it's like additional space. Maybe that's the only case that Rabbi Akiva Iger would say you put the mezuzah going into the room. But B'lav Hachi, you don't. The Minchas Yitzchak has this, the Pesachei She'arim has this. A lot of them, Svarim on mezuzah, have that. Another raya against the Rabbi Akiva Iger, Rabbi Simon said, is the Chazon Ish's kasha. Frek the Chazon Ish, we know that a bathroom doesn't get a mezuzah. Why not? It's not a tashmishul kavod. Why don't you have a? So the room is putter. According to Rabbi Akiva Iger, shouldn't there be a mezuzah in the bathroom going out? Whenever you go from a room that's putter to a room that's chayiv, shouldn't there be a mezuzah going out? Chazon Ish's kasha. You see, against Rabbi Akiva Iger. Okay. Fine. The next issue that comes up is a Gemara in Yuma.
If the reason is Bizayon, then you're still going to have it in the bathroom if you're going out.
Right, so the Chazanish, right, so let's say it's outside of the door.
Right.
Like we have, like the halacha is by a master bedroom, right? That Me'ikar Hadin, it's a discussion. That's a room that you have real dira in. People live there, you sleep there, you live there. But Tashmishim, natural cover go on in the master bedroom. So all the poskim say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if the mezuzah is outside of the door closes and the mezuzah is still on the outside, then you should have your mezuzah there. So why don't we do that by a bathroom also? By a bedroom, we have it going into the room from the outside, because right, the room is not considered room shell design to the same extent that a bathroom is, but that's the Chazon Ish's kasha. Okay. It says in Shulchan Aruch, this room, this halacha about rooms that you do bizayon in. So a bathroom, so we don't have a mezuzah there. The lashon is that a room that noshem rochatzel sham is potter from mezuzah. Apparently, if it's a room that noshem are not rochatzel sham, it's chayiv and mezuzah. Stam a room that you just use for storage, the Rush says is chayiv and mezuzah. But the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam tells you that in order to be chayiv in mezuzah, it's got to be a room shahanoshim miskashtos shum. In other words, a room that you just use for storage, according to the Rambam, is not chayiv. Beisefa for the Rambam means a makom dira, a place that your mamish live in. Unless the women would use the room to put on their makeup, to make themselves, as we say in Yiddish, ibrif habesot and farputzt, right? Unless they're making themselves all fancy in that room, so there's no chiyuv mezuzah at all, according to the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh. We pass that Beis HaOitzer is chiyuv and mezuzah. Even if it's a room that you don't merely use for dira, you just use for storage, it's chiyuv like the Rosh against the Rambam. According to the Rambam, you only chiyuv if you live there. The Rambam is not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Even so, the Aruch HaShulchan and Reb David Feinstein say that when you make a mezuzah on one of these storage rooms, you do not make a bracha. Because we're passing like the Rosh, but you should be choshish for the Rambam letting in suffix brachos. It happens that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that Rebbe Akiva Iger says that since the day of the Rambam isn't mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, it's a day of the Chuya Legamrei, and it's not even Mitzdarf to Sveikas. So it could be that the Pesachei Tshuva is disagreeing, but Reb David Feinstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, said that you do not make a bracha on these rooms. Nafka Mina is for garages. Right, a garage is a room that you don't really live in, you just use it to store stuff. So according to the Rosh, it's chayiv and mezuzah. But Reb David Feinstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, say not to make a bracha in light of the Rambam's position. Rabbi Simon mentioned that the Debre Tziner has a tshuva where the Debre Tziner says that if you have a freestanding garage, a garage that's not attached to the house, so then there's no chiyuv mezuzah at all. The longest one is a chiyuv mezuzah on the garage is if it's a garage that's attached to the house, a beis ha'oitzer that's attached to the bayis. But beis ha'oitzer that's not attached to the bayis bichlal, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. Subsequently in the shir, Rabbi Simon began to doubt this psak, and l'chora, right, like the beis ha'bakar presumably is not attached to the house, so beis ha'oitzer also presumably not attached to the house, and there should be no chiyuv. Yeah.
the garage uses a base shower, you park your car and you go into the house,
if the garage is a base shower and a hanami, if you're going through the garage, but let's say you have the type of garage that you just go into the garage and then you go out or something, you go into through the front door. Some people have like that set of those like two stairs inside the garage to go into the house. Others have a garage you just park the car in and then leave. Or you have a garage you don't even keep the car, you keep the 10-year-old bicycles in there or something. Fine. There are some other issues that come up involved in Dira. What's considered living? Shulchan Aruch says that Beis Knesset doesn't need a mezuzah. No one lives in Shul. But, and Shul's got to be a real Shul. No one lives in Shul, fine. But if someone sleeps there, so then it is a Beis Dira and it's Chayiv and mezuzah. What about a Beis Medrash? Does Beis Medrash have a Chayiv mezuzah or not? So the Rush quotes the Maharam Mi Rutenberg used to fall asleep in his Beis Medrash when he was learning during the day. And he started getting terrible tremors. He got very scared. Oy vey. I'm falling asleep. Basically, he didn't know why. Then he put up his mezuzah. And when he put up his mezuzah on his Beis Medrash, so then he stopped having these tremors. Okay. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we recommend putting a mezuzah on a Beis Medrash. Why is a Beis Medrash different than Beis Knesset? Beis Knesset is Tash Mishal Kedusha. That's the Lashon of the Rishonim. And Beis Knesset doesn't need a mezuzah. So how come a Beis Medrash needs a mezuzah? What's the fella?
People aren't there all day.
So Zot the Shach, people are there, min boker ad ha'erev, people are there all day. Right? Which would mean that like the full of Beis Medrash in the Shul isn't really a Beis Medrash. That's a Beis Knesset. There's no Kiyum Mezuzah over there. People only learn Mishnayos between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Shach says min ha'boker ad ha'erev, all day. But that's interesting. Right? The Shach's lesson is that they're there all day, day until night. Are people in the Beis Medrash at night? Does anyone sleep in the Beis Medrash? Apparently not, right? And even so, the Shach says that Yechayiv and Mezuzah. It could be that the Shach is arguing on the Taz. Because the Taz tells us that Chanuyos, what about stores? Or offices? Is there a Chiyuv Mezuzah in your office? Zok the Taz that there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah in the office because people are not there at night. So it could be that the Taz is arguing on the Shach. Because the Shach would say that if you're there all the time in the Boker Ad Ha'erev, that's good enough for Chiyuv Mezuzah in Shul. Right, good enough for Chiyuv Mezuzah in the Beis Medrash. But the Taz says that you're Pater Mezuzah in an office because you're not there at night. So the Sefer Chovas Hadar is an interesting thing. Rabbi Simon didn't mention this, I just like it, I'll say it over. Chovas Hadar is an interesting thing. He says, no. Asei Toras HaKeva. Right? So when you're learning in Boker Ad Ha'erev, that's your Keva. If you're in the office in Boker Ad Ha'erev and you're not there at night, that's not Keva. And the Chiyuv Mezuzah has got to be when it's Keva. Yeah.
Maybe the Taz is saying people leave during the day, like they're not even there when it gets dark.
No, the Taz's Lashon is that they're not there balayla. That's what he says. And some understand what the Taz means, just that people don't sleep there at night. They go home to sleep.
What do you mean they're not there after 6?
He could be, but then, I mean, let's say today our offices that we have, that like a lawyer could be in the office until 11:30 at night.
But maybe then, without electricity, everyone's gone.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible. But the impression you get from the Taz is just that because they're not there balayla, that's
so
like...
How do you Taz explain why Beis Medrash is fine?
Right, so the Taz doesn't deal with the Kasha. The later Sparim put, say, either the Taz is arguing on the... Either the Taz would say it's just a Chumr Ba'alma, because since the Maram had this dream, so we're Mahmir, Stamazai, but really there's no Chiyuv, or else you could say this word about say to Rasli Keva. Zog is though that the Taz's understanding of stores, Chanuyel Shebeshvakim, that's the case in the Gemara, is not accepted by a number of Acharinim. Many Acharinim understand that the reason why stores are putter from mezuzah is not like the Taz said. The Taz said it's because you're not there at night. But other Acharinim say, you know what we're talking about with the store? We're talking about a temporary structure. It's like a Sukkah Sachag. The Gemara puts them together, Sukkah Sachag and Chanuyel Shebeshvakim. Right? A Sukkah is like a temporary thing. You have it there for a few days. Imagine like in the fairs, you know, you have these big European fairs that they used to have once a year. So, that fair, right? What happens at the fair? You put up a booth, you sell stuff, and then, at the end of the sale, at the end of the week, you take the booth down. So that's the type of store that's not Chayiv Mezuzah. But our offices, which are permanent structures, will be Chayiv Mezuzah. That's what the Prisha says. That's what the Acharonim say. L'maisa, we put mezuzahs up on our offices, but we don't make a bracha. That's L'maisa what we do. Fine. The last issue that Rabbi Simon spoke about in Shira of Mezuzah number 1, right, is schiros, rental. The Gemara distinguishes between renting a house in Eretz Yisrael when Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael there's a fee of mezuzah right away, but renting a house in Chutz La'aretz there's no fee of mezuzah until Yom Lamed, until day 30. Now, is this a chi of d'oraisa or a chi of d'rabbanon after day 30? Not really clear. I'm big machlokes in Rishonim, but Rabbeinu Manoach assumes that the chiyuv is min haTorah. That's the first opinion of Tosfos and Menachos and Daf Mem Daled also. But lemaisa, right? Most poskim assume that the chiyuv mezuzah in chutz la'aretz on a rented apartment is going to be a chiyuv derabbanon. What's the rationale behind the chiyuv derabbanon? Once you've been there for 30 days, it looks like it's yours. Memeila zakta avni nezer. Let's say Rachman Litzlan, someone is sick and he's been in the hospital for 30 days. Right. Is anyone going to say that it's his? Would anyone have such a hava minavad in that? There's no maris ayin at all that it's yours. So there's no chi of mezuzah on your hospital room after day 30. Because there's no maris ayin bechlal. If you'd be worried that Siddin Day Raisa, the avni nezer says, you would have to put a mezuzah on your hospital room after day 30, but we assume that's a din d'rabbanan. Now, there's also part of this question of day 30 is 30 days. The Shach writes, the Shach has an interesting question. The Shach says that ad lamed yoim is considered diras arai. It sounds like the Shach is saying that if I'm going to be in a place for more than 30 days, that's considered diras keva. What that means is if I rent my apartment in Washington Heights, Schiros. She'ela is the same as Schiros, by the way. You borrow an apartment, you rent an apartment, but you know that you're going to be there for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, more than 30 days, right? It could be that that's already considered Dires Keva. And it could be that the Chi of Mezuzah would start right away. That is what the Siddur Derech HaChaim says. However, the Nachlas Tzvi on the side of Shulchan Aruch and the Pizchei Tshuva puts them together. He says, the Nachlas Tzvi says that there is no chiyuv at all until day 30. In other words, the rationale for day 30 is not that it's considered keva after 30, it's just that it's a din maris ayin. Right? They point out the Shach when he quoted this thing that after day 30 it becomes keva. That sounds like those Rishonim that's a din d'oraisa. We'll be done in a few minutes. Sounds like those Rishonim that's a din d'oraisa. L'maisa though, if you assume like the Rishonim that's a din d'rabbanon, so it shouldn't really. You assume like those you show that's a din dirabbanan, so then maybe there's no chiyuv at all until after day 30. Oh my, so what do you do? What do you do with a mezuzah? You rent an apartment. When do you put the mezuzah up? So if Moshe recommends in his tshuva is chelak aleph of Yerideya Simin Kofayin test that you should put the mezuzah up on day 1 when you first rent your apartment, and comes along day 30, if you can take it down easily, take it down and put it back up again to make a bracha. If you can't take it down, just put your hand on it and make a bracha. What's the cheshbon over here? The cheshbon is that the minchas chinuch is worried that if I put the mezuzah up on day 1, and let's say my chiyuv didn't start on day 1, my chiyuv starts only on day 30, so I have a problem of tasev alom min ha'asli. I have a problem that I had a mezuzah hanging there, shelo b'chiyuv. And memela, it's not a kasher mezuzah, tasev alom min ha'asli, just like we have in hilchos sukkah. So therefore, right, therefore you should put it up, lochosh, for those opinions, for the Shach and those opinions that the chiyuv begins right away. You should put it up right away, but try to take it down on day 30 and make a bracha then. Rav Shach and his Sefer, Rabbi Simon quoted that Rav Shach and his Sefer said that if you have a lease, the chiyuv begins right away. There is some discussion also that Rav Shach has about if you're renting from a goy as opposed to a yid, the chiyuv begins right away. L'mais, you should put the mezuzah up right away, but don't make the bracha until day 30. Good? Fine. The next year that Rabbi Simon gave, so that's for Beischa, right? Chsacha Mezuzah's Beischa, we did Beischa. What about Besharecha? What's a Sha'ar? So the Gemara in Yuman Daf Yud Aleph talks about what a Sha'ar is, and Rashi over there has an interesting comment that the Sha'ar, by the way, to be a Sha'ar, you chayiv a mezuzah even if there's no roof on top. The Rambam says that the chayiv a mezuzah is only when there's a roof on top. That's only on a bayis. A sha'ar, there's a chiyuv even without a roof. Fine. But Rashi has a chiddush in Maseches Yuma. Rashi tells you that the sha'ar of the ear is chayiv and mezuzah only if it's an Ir Sherubo Yisrael. So paradoxically, Yerushalayim, where there's a Sha'ar Ha'ir, is not Chayiv in B'Sazah, because the Davonin in Yerushalayim is not Rubo Yisrael. But Seagate in Brooklyn is Rubo Yisrael. So Seagate, there is a Chayiv Mezuzah. However, the later Achronim say that if the mezuzah is in the place that people are going to rip it down, it'll become mutzah b'dizayin, you don't put it up. Rav Harfenis recommends that you should put up just the case without a parasha at the beginning. If no one tampers with the case, then later on you stick the parasha in. Fine. The Rambam has a shita in Hilchos Mezuzah in general, which Rabbi Tani Cohen coined the term door deluxe. The Rambam holds that in order to be chayiv in mezuzah, you need mamish two mezuzos. A mezuzah is like a side post, a mashkof on top, and a door. You need a door. Without a door, for the Rambam, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. In Shulchan Aruch, it says to be choshish for this Rambam. That means that when you put up the mezuzahs in your apartment, you should make the bracha on the room that has a door on it. It's got to be a room with dalet al dalet with a door. You shouldn't make the bracha on the room without a door, because even though according to the Rosh there's a chiyuv of mezuzah without a door, but according to the Rambam, the chiyuv of mezuzah is only when you mamish have a door. So therefore, you only make a bracha when you fulfill the chiyuv of the Rambam. There could also be a problem of tasev lo min ha'asoy in this case. If you originally have a doorway and you hang up a mezuzah over there because it's a doorway, so you hang up a mezuzah without a bracha, fine. Then you hang up a door there. According to the Rambam, it turns out that you weren't going to the mitzvah mezuzah b'chalal, right? Once you have the door with the other mezuzah, so that's going to be tasev lo min ha'asoy. You'd have to take it down and put it back up. Fine. That's all in the shach. What's the hesper for the Rambam? Why is it that you need a door? So the Rambam has an interesting lashon, which is why Rabbi Simon put this in the shir that's part of Sha'ar. Sha'ar means the gate to the city, but the Rambam says that the Torah's lashon isn't Pesach, it's a Sha'ar. To be a Sha'ar, you need a door, says the Rambam. That's what the Rambam responded to Chachmei Unil. Fine. We also spoke about two mezuzahs with a mashkof. The mezuzah has to be something that the mezuzah, the Rishonim, and the Achrayim all say doesn't have to be something that sticks out from the wall, even if the wall just ends. That's considered a mezuzah. But the mashgof has got to be something that sticks out. In other words, a ceiling alone is not a mashgof. It's got to be something that comes down, on like we have over here. There's the mezuzahs and the mashgof is on top, right? It's like a separate piece. That's considered a mashgof. The shach, even though it says in Shochanah that you need two mezuzahs and a mashgof, the shach says that if you have only one mezuzah and a mashgof, you should put up a mezuzah. One doorpost and a mashgof, you put up a little piece of parchment on that door, what we call a mezuzah. Why is that? Because in many Rishonim we disagree with the Rambam, but Zach the shach, it's only if the mezuzah is on the right side. If you have the mezuzah on the left side, then it doesn't get a mezuzah. Okay? Fine. That's in Simen Resh Pei Zayin. It's a good idea to read Simen Resh Pei Vav, those Se'ifim that we did, which is basically Sif Beis Gimel Yud Yud Aleph Yud Gimel, and Simen Resh Pei Zayin. You should read a little bit in Resh Pei Tes. It's a good idea just to read them. It will make things easier to remember. Archways is also Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. If you have an arch, the Shaila is that we put a mezuzah, we put the parchment on what we call the mezuzah, not on the mashgof. Now, if you have an arch, at what point does mezuzah stop and mashgof begin? So in Hilchos Erevin, there's this machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam. At what point that is? According to the Rambam, if you have 10 tefachim straight, that is mezuzah. The entire thing on top is considered mashgof. Rashi, however, would say that it's considered mezuzah until you get to the area that you have 4 tefachim on top. Right, so if you have one of these archways, you have this entire, like, little half moon, which is going to be mutzul machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. You should try to put the mezuzah in the place that you yotzei for both. What does that mean? That means as follows: you're not yotzei mezuzah if it is too low. If the mezuzah has to be in the top third of the door, ideally it should be the lower part of the top third of the door. Too low, you're not yotzei. According to many Rishonim and some Achrayim, you're not yotzei the mitzvah mezuzah also if the mezuzah is too high, which means it's in one tefach, within one tefach of the mashgof. You're not yotzei mezuzah. So if you have an archway, you have to measure very carefully that you're yotzei both according to Rashi and the Rambam. That's what the Taz writes. Yeah.
Where does the shiur come?
The The top one, where does it come from? I don't remember. The Shach quotes it. I just don't remember the Makar. I'd have to look into it again. Now, one other issue that comes up over here is that even though you're not Yotze Mezuzah, if it's too low, but Yerushalmi says that if it's Gavoa Harbe, if it's a very, very tall doorway, like you have in Yerushalayim, like the Shari Ha'ir are 50, 60 feet tall, right? So you don't put the mezuzah in the top third. You put the mezuzah in the place that people can reach it. Now, what the exact hagdar of that Yerushalmi is unclear. Reb Moshe felt that anything that is taller than the average person could reach, you put it where the average person could reach it. Others say that Yerushalmi is talking about something that's over 20 amos tall. But all would agree that the thing that, like some nursery schools have, a little they have a mezuzah very low on the door so that the kids could kiss it, all would agree that that's ruined.
Because you the person is the average person in that room.
The average, yeah, so I think it goes by the average person in society, not the average person in the room. It's an interesting point, but the average person in society is a little bit taller than the 3-year-olds. So, Lamaisa, even though some schools try to have the mezuzah very low, you're not, you'll see the mitzvah over there. Remember Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when I was in kindergarten, came by and he saw that the mezuzah was too low. He told them, no, they should put the mezuzah up higher and they should put a chair by the place so all the kids could stand on the chair and kiss the mezuzah and go on. So they have in South Shore. Right? Shane. Good. There is a discussion in Tosfos about whether all Sparim, is it more covered if you keep a Sefer like this? Is it more covered if you keep a Sefer like this? So the standard Sheva Brachos Torah is that compromise is important. That's why you make a mezuzah like this. It's halfway like this. Half that. That's wrong. Lamaisa, the reason why you put the mezuzah slanty is because that way you yotze both shitas. Like what we're saying by an arch, they try to be yotze both the Rashi and the Rambam, right? You put it slantly, that way you yotze both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The hardest issue in Hilchos Mezuzah, yeah?
Where is the place to put it on the arch?
Right, so you have to make sure that you don't put it within one tefach of the beginning of the arch, because since that top, the slanty part, is going to be mashko for the Rambam, it can't be within one tefach of there. And it also should be within
the top one third for Rashi.
It should also be in the top one third for Rashi. So it might not always work, but you should try to be yotze both. In most cases, if it's just under that top tefach, you'll still get the top third for the arch in most cases. Sometimes you can't. I don't know what you do in that case. I don't know what you do. You'd have to ask a shayla. And there's a lot of shaylas that come up in Hilchos Mezuzah, especially the apartments in Washington Heights, the disasters. Like the little kitchen mezuzah shayla, right? Simon spoke about that, right? If the din of mezuzah is based on what's considered Pesach, so just like in Hilchos Erev, it's only considered a Pesach if you can walk through. If you can't walk through, it's not a Pesach. So what you have over here is you have like the big archway, and you have like a little counter that sticks down. The counter is over 10 tefachim tall. So that itself could be chayiv and mezuzah. So, do you put on the little one, you put on the big one, where do you go? You can't walk through the big area because it's something that impedes you. That's a big discussion. Rabbi Simon wrote about that in his English article, the different sheets of Nacharayim, where you put the mezuzah. The hardest issue that comes up is the issue of how do you define the right side? Right? Because if I have two rooms, like over here, right, going into the hallway. So from the hallway coming in, there's one right side. Coming from this room, going out to the hallway, right? What they consider the left, we consider the right. Okay, that's perspective. So now, what factors go into what's defined as the right side? So there are five rules according to most people in the following order, and according to Chabad, there's a slightly different order. Basically, if you go from a makam p'tur to a makam chiyuv, it goes on the right side, that's rule A. Chitzon to pnimi is rule B. Rule C is that you follow the use of traffic. Sometimes it's complicated. You know, you could get to the second bedroom either through the kitchen, or you could get to the second bedroom through the hallway. Well, what do people do more often? The flow of traffic. Usage. Right? A room that's used more often into next room. Rabbi Simon has this all in that article. And the last thing, which is Heker Tzir, which is that if the door opens into the room, that's considered the room that you're entering. If the door opens out, that's the room that you're leaving. So now, Lubavitchers follow Heker Tzir above all the other principles besides Ptur L'Chiyuv, but everyone else follows that order. A, B, C, D, E, Ptor Techiyev, Kitzon Tepnimi, traffic usage, and Heker Tzir. Fine. There is, what?
Sliding doors.
Sliding doors. So sliding doors are Chayev and Mezuzah. Obviously, Heker Tzir won't be a factor in sliding doors, so you have to use the other rules. Right. A deck on the back of a house is a machlokes between Reb Moshe and the Chazon Ish. Reb Moshe felt the mezuzah goes from the deck going out. The Chazon Ish felt it goes from the deck coming in. Rabbi Simon has a whole discussion about that in his article, also with the Taz, other Acharonim. They all talk about these decks. Seder. That's the end of mezuzah. Any other questions on mezuzah? Should we spend 10 minutes just to run through the other stuff, or? Yeah, it's optional. Anyone who wants to leave, you can leave whenever you want. I think we can try to finish up in 10 minutes. The Maaseh Rabbi Brander gave a shiur on preparing for Pesach. His shiur involved lots of practical things. The list for Pesach, the CRC has a very nice list, which is recommended to be used, as opposed to the list that comes out from Rabbi Blumenkranz, which is less recommended. There are certain things that are issues of chametz that people don't notice are issues of chametz, or aren't used to thinking about. Pet food could be a serious problem with chametz. Rabbi Brander mentioned just like practical eitzes. It's a good idea to realize that, you know, Pesach time, there could often be lots of shalom bayis issues that come up because you're cleaning up, and money, it's very expensive to make yontif. If the rabbi has extra money, it's a good idea. Don't wait for people to come to you. Go over to people who you know have difficulty making ends meet, give them a few bucks. Help them make Pesach. It's a good idea. Brander also then took people through just a very quick Mechiras Chametz, how you do all the different kinyonim. The basic thing for this is Rabbi Willig has a tape on that. Rabbi Brander mentioned it just like, well, maybe it's a song of Chametz that we're not sure. It's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos about what kinyonim work for Goyim, whether Mashiach is kind of Ba'akum, whether Kesef is kind of Akum, whichever kinyan works in the Torah by Jews, the other one works for Goyim. So it's a place in Kedushin. Huh? So basically, we try to do Mashiach, Hagabah, we do kinyan Chatzar, but the Radfaz and others aren't sure where the Chatzar works for Goyim. We try to do Mashiach, Hagabah, Kesef, Chatzar, Situmta, you shake hands. You do Kinyan Agav. Agav may or may not work for Goyim. All Kinyanim Drabunan, the Ketzais entertains Kinyanim Drabunan, were only instituted for Yidin, they weren't instituted for Goyim. So we do all the different Kinyanim. You should try to make Mechiras Chametz as serious as possible. Have people fill out on the form exactly what they're selling. You should have $1 or included for every person who you sell, just as a practical notion that the Goy who's buying the Chametz from you should know approximately how many people's chametz she's buying, so you have a dollar bill from everyone. Rabbi Brander mentioned that you should also have a few coins. Rabbi Willig told him that you should have some coins when you sell the chametz, because according to those Rishonim according to Kshuvas Chassam Sefer, that paper money has a din of shtar, it doesn't have the din of kesef, so maybe it doesn't help by goyim, so you should have some coins also showing. Fine, basically that's how you do Mechiras Chametz. Okay, the next issue that comes up is Rabbi David Hirsch's shiur, which is the last shiur that we've had until now. This week there's going to be one last shiur. Rabbi Willig and and Dr. Pelkovitz will be speaking about Shidduchim, which for those of you who are married, it's a good idea because you'll get shaylas about it when you become Rabbi. And those of you who aren't married, it's a good idea to go to the shiur because you should hear some information about what Shidduchim should be all about. It's an important topic. Now, gambling. So Rabbi Hirsch began his shiur by calling from the Sefer Chassidim, the Tshuvas HaRashi, about how bad gambling is. Sefer Chassidim has a very strong lashon. He says, "Aser l'rachim on a mesachik b'kuvya." Tshuvas HaRashi says, "Mesachik b'kuvya is like the worst thing in the world." Rabbi Hirsch then went on and he said, "Well, he listened to a tape from Dr. Twersky. It's on TorahWeb.org if you guys want to listen to it about the problem of gambling. It's very bad." Not only in college, where there's actually a problem here, also gambling. In high schools, gambling is a big problem today. It's addictive, people get into it, and it destroys families, mamish, everything. Everything can be destroyed with gambling. Sefer HaChinuch, on the That's also to be involved in any addictive behavior. That's going to lead you to go astray. You won't be able to control yourself. That it's also to take nidarim. Right? Usually we encourage someone who's a balaveira, whose way that he'll do aveira is to take nidarim as an extra deterrent. Someone who's a gambler, Sam Sefer writes, you don't encourage him to take nidarim. It's addictive. Because it's addictive, so what's going to emerge is he'll just violate the neder in addition to violate the isser involved in gambling. Now, what's the isser involved in gambling? So the sugya really begins with the sugya psulei edus. In the Mishnah in Sanhedrin distinguishes between psulei edus deraisa and psulei edus derabanan. There are two nafkaminas. So in this pasul edus min hatoira, he's pasul even for edus isha, even to be matir naguna. If you pasul edus min hatoira, you can't do it. And if you, the other nafkamina is that if you pasul edus min hatoira, the psul begins from shas ma'isa, begins from the aveira. As opposed to if you puzzle, midrabanan begins later on. Minatoira, you only puzzle edos if you're Rasha Duchama, so if you violate a lav sheyesh bo ma'is, a lav that has malchus involved. These cases of gambling are part of psulei edos midrabanan. Why is a psulei edos midrabanan? The Gemara discusses, is it because of smachta lo kanya, or is it because you're not osik bi yishuvu shel olam? Now, if it's because of asmachta lo kanya, what does that mean? What's asmachta? So there's a machlokas, Rabbi Hirsch and Hashir got involved in machlokas Rambam and Rashi. What is asmachta? According to the Rambam and Rambam and Tosfos, we should say, Rambam and Tosfos machlokas, what is asmachta? According to Tosfos, asmachta is idua ma'isa kinyan on its night, but the presumption is that you won't be able to be mukayim its night. That's asmachta according to Tosfos. According to the Rambam, the case of asmachta is not that you did a ma'isa kinyan, you just had das. The difference is, in this case of gambling, is that you put money down, and there's mamash and ma'isa kinyan going on. That's what Tosfos would say. But according to the Rambam, no, it's only das that I assume that I'm going to win, so that's why, right, I'm betting with you, I don't really think I'll lose. It's only das on its night, it's not a ma'isa on its night. Now, this discussion whether asmachta is kanya or is asmachta not kanya is a machlokas in Tanoim, and then there's a machlokas in Rishonim, what the machlokas Tanoim is about. Yeah.
What's the nafkamina between the Rambam and
Tosfos?
If you don't do without a
mask,
what's the...
Right, so the nafkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos is as follows. According to Tosfos, the regular case of gambling, the case of asmachta, there's money on the table, you could technically be a gazlan min hatoira. So how come I'm not possible edus min hatoira? It's really gezel d'oraisa, according to Tosfos. How come it's not possible edus min hatoira? Because it's b'shogeg. But for the Rambam, there's no issur d'oraisa of the gezel involved at all. For the Rambam, because the case is that the money is not down on the table, that's what gambling is. It's only das on tznai. So Chazal treat it like it's gezel, but it's only gezel midrabanan, it's not gezel min hatoira. So then there's going to be three nafkaminas that come up. A goy, right? The Rambam tells you that by a goy, right, this type of gezel de devrayhem, they never asked for goyim. According to Tosfos, it would still be asked for goyim, because it's mamish. But in Lamais, it's gezel d'oraisa. You're taking his money. According to the Rambam, it's only gezel midrabanan, so it's not going to be asked by goyim. And the other nafkaminas come up, and we'll get to them in 2 minutes.
According to the Rambam, there's no ma'is in zeil
left? Yeah.
When
I get the money, he's handing it to me as a full nesi'in. It's not like the Rambam assumes that when he hands it to me after I won, he's being makna to me in some way. Midrabanan we treat it like gezel, but min hatoira he has enough das for haknos. According to Tosfos, this is considered a ma'isa gezel. If I Hirsch didn't get involved, there's a lot to say about why this would be. But the ma'isa, according to the Rambam, there's no d'oraisa issue involved of gezel. The Rambam paskins that the real problem with gambling is that you're not osik bi yishuvu sha'olam, which is the other day in the Gemara. Which would mean that according to the Rambam, and you have to be careful here. You have to be careful. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Ayin, The Mechaber passes like the Rambam. That means that there's only an issue of gezel midivrehem when you gamble. A. Gambling from a goy should be mutter, but the issue of gambling from a goy is usher because you're not thinking about philosophy when you're gambling with the guy, and therefore it's usher because you're doing something that's silly, it's not yishuv sha'olam. But the rabbi, even one time gambling from a guy is usher, but it's not an isser gezel, it's an isser of, it's not even gezel midrabbanon, it's an isser of like not thinking about important matters. The Ramah in Shin Ayin uses the same word Osik Shibi Yeshuva Sha'olam, but uses it in a different way than the Rambam uses it. For the Ramah, Osik Bi Yeshuva Sha'olam means that if you earn your entire parnosa from gambling, so you're not doing anything productive, so that's going to be the Isser. What that would mean is that according to the Ramah, if you gamble only on weekends, it's going to be okay, technically. Right? There's no Isser. And if you lose, it's technically okay. For the Rambam, right, it could be that there still is going to be usher based on the way the Rambam understands Osik B'Yeshuva Sha'olam, that you're supposed to be thinking about important matters the whole time.
I'm just thinking the Rambam was during Usher, that how could something be mutter as long as you lose during the ice itself?
The Isser is up. Okay, so that's kind of the next stage in the Shir. We'll get there in a second. But apparently, if the Isser is an Isser of Gezel, so the Isser is only when you win something, or, you know, again, for the Rambam, there's two Isser involved. There's the Gezel Midrabbanan by Yid, and there's also the fact that you're not thinking about important matters when you gamble, it's a waste of time. Now, what Leib is bothered by is Lamaisa, that you begin to gamble because maybe you'll win, maybe you'll lose. And if you end up losing a time, there's no Isser at all, like, what's going on? So this is kind of the rationale for another Isser that comes up in gambling, which is not a Masechah Sanhedrin, but it's an Isser in Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara says that it's usser to draw lots for mana gedayla k'neged mana katana. Whoever comes first gets a bigger portion, comes second get a smaller portion. That's going to be usser, the Gemara says. Why? And we pass in this way in Shulchan Aruch Nerachayim. That Isser is because it will train you in gambling. There's some Isser Drabbanan, even if you're not worried about Asmachta, even if you hold like the Ramah, that you hold Asmachta is technically Kanya, right? So there's no Isser Gezel at all. And the only Isser would be if you're not Osik B'Yeshiva Sha'olam, which means for the Ramah that you earn all your money from gambling. So one could argue that it should be Heter Gomer to be a weekend gambler. No, Zachli Gomer in Shabbos, it's Asser. Why? Because you're training yourself in this destructive behavior. And that Isser of Mana Gedola, Keneged Mana Katana, Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Chesam and Beis, that is why it's Asher. Now, Tosfos understands the Gemara. The Gemara is only answering it according to the Manda Amar, that's Machdol Kanya. But the Ran in Sanhedrin, and it's actually the Ran in Shabbos also, but the Ran in Shabbos, Mosai Rav Kook and Ran on Shabbos wasn't out when Rabbi Hirsch gave the Shir the first time. The Ran in Shabbos says that no, the Isser is even if Asmachta is Kanya, it's usher to get involved in this type of behavior. Now, according to this, all games should be usher. Maybe. It's a big chumrah. So you have to distinguish, like the Shulti Giborim does, between games of chance versus games of skill. That may be games of skill is going to be mutter, but games of chance is going to be usher, because gambling is like kind of using chance, yeah.
Where is that Shulti Giborim?
The Shulti Giborim is in Rabbi Hirsch's packet. It's the last Shulti Giborim in Masechus Erevin. The words are underlined in the Rabbi Hirsch packet on that page. Okay, so that basically takes us to the end of the gambling shear. The only thing that Rabbi Hirsch pointed out is that this Shulti Giborim distinguishes between games of luck and games of skill, that games of luck are going to be usher, games of skill is going to be mutter. Turns out this is the opposite of the way the Mordechai understood Asmachta. See, according to the Mordechai, right, the issue of Asmachta is that I think I'm going to win because I think I'm skilled. If it's a game of luck that you don't think you'll win at all, or you don't think you have any control over, so there's no Isser of Asmachta. So according to the Mordechai, games of luck are mutter and games of skill are Asser, but the Shulti Giborim says if I care. Okay, Yasher Klei for coming.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Could you just tell whoever's passing the test, the guys who are going to come like
late.
An hour or 2 minutes?
Yeah, I'll just wing that. I'll speak to Rabbi Bronstein, and we'll figure it out.
The 24th. It's on Wednesday.
It's next Wednesday.
You want to stop it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.